Hello and welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things.
I'm Macy.
I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors that like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
This is our therapy.
Yay.
Join us. Dive in. Yay.
I got you a present.
What is it?
I don't have it today, so I can't tell you.
I don't like present teasers.
I love it. It actually drives me much more crazy than it probably will bother you.
Just give me a hint.
No.
What does it sound like?
No, because if I start giving hints, you'll know what it is, and then I'll want to tell you.
I really want to know.
Next week. I actually got one for my dad, for you, and for my aunt.
Oh. Mm. Now I'm really curious.
That's it. That's all you get. Okay. So, how's your week been? Check in. What's new? What's different? What's the same?
Well, in Spokane County, where we live, the COVID is going off the charts.
We're all
like literally off the charts. They had to add a whole new section to the chart to chart it. So,
were the numbers?
Well, we'd been like 100-ish, you know, each day. And then all of a sudden over the weekend, we had 700 cases. So when I went to the store to get the wine, I basically treated everybody like they had the Rona. Mm-hmm. I was like sneaking around, like
I feel like that. I feel like we could make a short film like that.
Yeah.
In the store.
Yep. I mean, I did like a almost a square dance do-si-do around one fella.
Ooh.
Who was trying to be too close to my area. I was like, no way. Not today.
Get away. Yeah.
It was like a cross step, back step. It was like it was pretty fancy.
That's cool.
I was impressed with myself.
Nice. Yeah. So basically, Spokane is sick.
It's not just Spokane. It's all over the country.
Yeah. It's really bad everywhere.
Yeah. So I think it's really time to hunker down. I hope the toilet paper thing doesn't happen again.
I heard that it might, actually.
I took a peek when I was at the store and it looked okay.
Yeah. I went ahead and just bought a thing of toilet paper last week just in case.
Yeah, it's all the just in case people that make there be no toilet paper for the rest
fair,
of us.
I only had two rolls left and that's not a comfortable enough cushion for me at this moment, knowing that we're in like the worst of it.
We are. And I got the good news from my day job that we get to work from home now through July.
Nice.
So I'm very excited. Seven more months then. So I'm really taking this work from home outfit seriously. I've gotten a couple new pairs of stretchy pants and a couple new pairs of earrings because it's really about here and here up, you know,
the shoulders up region.
This is all your place to shine.
So we had someone in the room ask what our topics are today. Do you want to give an overview of how that works? I think this is a new person.
The overview is that nobody knows, including us, what each other's topics are.
Yeah. So we'll dive in here in just a
moment.
We
reveal them to each other.
Yeah. I get to go first.
The world.
I get to go first today.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. I'm excited about mine
too. Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad I get to go first just to get it out of the way.
And you can just relax and harass me.
Yeah, but I love harassing you during your topic. So feel free to harass me a lot during mine. Do I get to start now?
Yeah, start.
Great.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to talk today about Bigfoot.
That's my topic.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Twice now in our podcast history, we have overlapped topics. We do not talk ahead of time about it.
Last time was Scientology.
Yeah. No way. I was actually like, I bounced around from several different topics. And then I was like, no, this is the way I'm going.
Yeah, that's what I felt as well. Well, we probably thought it too hard and it went out into the universal consciousness. And we plucked it out of the
I guess
air.
We get to do this together then, which might be fun.
Well, like I'm we doing kind time. Of a different spin on it. So it might actually be good.
Well, I feel like I need to know what kind of spin.
I'm just focusing on the Native American aspect.
I mean, that's part of mine too. So
I'm not doing any pop culture stuff at all. So
okay, so why don't I'll kick it off, and then when I get to that part here in just a minute, for that part you could share your part.
That sounds great.
And then I can come back in with the other stuff.
That sounds good. Tie it up.
All right. See
joint topic.
We have been super on point the past couple podcasts of having very similar themes in our topics. So it seems right.
That was about 40 episodes ago that we had the Scientology matchup.
So one every 40. Okay. All right. Okay, so Bigfoot is a big deal here. We are in Spokane, Washington, and I'm originally from the west coast of Washington, which it's very popular there.
I'm really originally from the California.
It's down there a little bit, but not as much.
Yeah, it's
the Yetis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the Yetis are more the... I decided to put that for a different day.
Okay, got it.
It's more like other part of the world.
Okay, so... Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch, it came out of kind of Western United States, also Canadian folklore. It's an ape-like creature that's said to inhabit the forests of North America. Have you seen this stuff everywhere? I mean, you must as a Washingtonian.
Oh, you mean like...
Everywhere.
The Bigfoot. Imagery? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
There's stickers. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I remember even on the West Coast, there's a specific like wood carving of a big foot. I think it's on one of the passes.
And I think there used to be one like hidden on the Kokanee bottles.
Oh,
back yeah. in the day.
Okay, okay.
I don't know if it still exists because I don't touch the Kokanee.
Yeah, so a lot of the folklore traces back to your topic within this, which is about the Native American history and culture with that. Because there's a lot there. So do you want to jump in there?
Already? No.
Well, yeah, because my stuff is about... Okay, I mean, you can come in later.
I think you should talk more.
Okay, all right. So,
because you are technically first.
This tends to... we tend to hear about Bigfoot when people claim that they have seen Bigfoot. They describe him as a large, hairy, muscular, bipedal?
I like pedal.
Ape-like creature, roughly 6 to 9 feet tall, covered in hair described as black, dark brown, or dark reddish. Did you ever watch Harry and the Hendersons?
Oh my god, I love that movie so much.
Yes, that's instantly what I think of. The enormous footprints are they are said to be as long as 24 inches and 8 inches wide. This really big foot.
That's a big foot.
It is a big foot.
As they say.
As some say. So these footprints have been cast, and that's where a lot of folklore comes up about it in popular culture of, oh, this is something real that we've seen. Some of them have 5 toes. Some of them have claws, which is a whole nother thing. So... there's a lot of legends surrounding this, but I'm going to skip a lot of that and we'll come back to it. So, skipping sightings, I'll talk about that. About 1/3 of all claims of Bigfoot are located in the Pacific Northwest, with the remaining reports around the rest of North America. Most reports are considered mistakes or hoaxes. And have you seen the show? Like Searching for Bigfoot, I think is what it's called.
No.
So, no. They actually like go and like follow Bigfoot clues. I don't know how old it is.
Those shows, those like
that never have a conclusion or outcome.
That's why I can't deal with them. It's like a lot of buildup and no satisfaction.
Yes, it is. Yes. So it's more known in popular culture now and often known as grass man or skunk ape in other areas. I actually didn't know that.
I haven't heard of skunk ape.
Skunk ape.
What's glass man mean?
Grass.
Oh, grass man.
Grass man. My guess is he was seen in grass.
Or maybe the fur is like greenish.
I don't understand where skunk ape came from, though.
Do you remember in January of this year when there was a sighting in Washington on the Department of Transportation traffic cam on I-90? And here's a picture of that from our news.
Oh.
It looks legit.
Okay. I can't see anything.
Let me zoom in.
Zoom in. How can you say it looks legit and I can't even see it? Because
fucking look at that. Then this was in...
It looks like a man in a snowsuit with a backpack.
Far away from anywhere that anybody would be walking.
What's the white on him?
And it's the glint of the sun. And this was just captured by a traffic cam on the pass. And then here's another one over there of the same day. I think it looks legit.
Was I'm there convinced. Night skiing?
No, this is during the daytime.
Daytime?
Yeah. That makes it even more mysterious.
Why did they take photos with a night camera?
It was in Sherman Pass, Wednesday afternoon, January 23rd, 2020, before COVID.
So obviously wasn't investigated. So one of my, I had a philosophy teacher once in my undergrad talk about Bigfoot and said that the way that you know that Bigfoot isn't real is because it's never been hit by a car. Every animal in person, like we have all been hit by a car at some point.
Unless they're just really smart.
But people get hit by cars and we're really smart. And then like how...
Are we though?
But to say that they're really smart, but they have to... like live in the woods under like complete secrecy and I don't know, keep getting caught on camera.
Some of the cases that I think are hoaxes, I think they did like say they hit one with their car.
I know that a person was hit by a car in Montana in 2012 while looking for Bigfoot. He was using a ghillie suit or cause he was, it was a hoax. And he was hit by a car.
Ghillie suit. I think that's the grass man.
Right oh, there. There we go. Yeah, that makes sense.
My anthropology professor that I used to have in the early 90s at Spokane Falls Community College believed that Bigfoot was real. And he had, I think it was probably a replica of a cast of the Gigantopithecus footprint.
Yeah.
And so we actually have a local professor from back in the 60s, Dr. Grover Krantz from WSU, who was the main one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who was really pushing for a connection between Bigfoot and Gigantopithecus.
I would like to say that Matt Cartmill, however, criticized that theory, saying that the trouble with this account is that Gigantopithecus was not a he was not within the same group. So physical evidence implies that Bigfoot's upright with his bipedal, we said, with his buttocks and a long, stout, permanent adducted hallux. My guess is that that's upright.
What's a hallux?
I don't know. Look it up. Part of the body that makes someone stand upright. And it's not found in other mammals or other bipeds. It seems unlikely that Gigantopithecus would have evolved these uniquely specific traits. It doesn't actually parallel with Gigantopithecus's body posture and how they were built.
I don't think we can just throw away
Krantz's. Well, just because the stuff. Foot matches.
But there might be something there. Like, it might not necessarily be Gigantopithecus, but maybe there's another connection because we don't even know all of the evolutionary.
But if these are foot casts that are made up, how can you compare? I mean, you can make it look like anything.
Well, I'm just saying there still could be real proof out there and we just don't know it yet.
So do you believe in Bigfoot?
Hell yeah, I do.
So there were a lot of different hoaxes with Bigfoot. They say most of the sightings are most likely misidentification, seeing something like an animal and then misidentifying it. But hoaxes... there was a sighting by Jerome Clark. He argued that the that Jacko affair. He was the. Let's see here. Hold on. Sorry. There, in 1884, a newspaper reported an ape-like creature. This picture here. See, it's like on all fours with the hunchy back.
Mm-hmm.
Said that was that was our culprit. But he found several issues with that, saying that it was actually a hoax. It was somebody who was dressed up and that the pictures were, quote, dubious.
Mm.
There's been a lot of issues with people faking it, and I think that's a big problem.
If you really want to find the real one, you can't have so many people faking it.
Are you going to talk about the Patterson-Gimlin film? That's the famous walking one where it's like this and it's like looking.
Yeah, I think it's in here. It's the...
That's like the outline that's like the most iconic Bigfoot image.
I don't know. Most of the ones that I had looked up were more...
It's this guy.
Tom Biscardi.
Remember?
Yeah.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That one looks fake to me. I don't know.
It's widely regarded as one of the strongest pieces of evidence.
Okay.
Nobody has ever been able to debunk
it. That's probably why that one's not listed in my hoaxes section, because it was not debunked. Got it. But most of the research has shown, like, when they gathered information about this, was that, like, the hair was either, like, a bear or a different animal. One of them, he said that he shot it, captured it, froze it. And when they thawed it out, the body, to see if it was real or not, the head was hollow, the fur was of a different animal, and it was all kind of, like, pieced together. And then... another one who actually went on a tour, and he made a ton of money off of this tour with this fake thing that he had somebody make it, and said, well, I went on tour and I didn't want to bring the real thing because it could be stolen, but has never produced the real thing.
Hmm. One of the reasons that film, the Patterson-Gimlin film, has not been proven to be a hoax, as no one's ever been able to recreate that outfit that would look like that. Like, exactly like that. And lots of people have said, oh, it was me, but then they don't bring the costume forward.
Okay. But the person who did it probably wouldn't do that.
What do you mean?
Wouldn't reveal themselves.
No, but lots of people have said, like, oh, it was me, I was dressed up, but then they can't ever produce evidence that it was them. And nobody can, like, recreate it and make it look like that. I've seen some attempts in the past where they're like, oh, we're going to recreate this film and make it look exactly like that, and it doesn't look anything like it. There's something with the limb ratios that can't be reproduced.
But it could if you had somebody who's, like, an expert at making, like, monster outfits. Like, if you actually had somebody, like, not just put on a suit.
Right, but this was in, like, 1970.
In the 70s.
So it would have to be that kind of technology.
Okay.
And it was filmed with, like, 16 millimeter film. So
somebody was out there and just happened to get this photo.
No. And this is the part that, like, makes me go, really? It was somebody from Yakima, actually, that went down to California.
We all know how I feel about Yakima.
Yeah, they went down there because they'd heard that there were tracks in the valley around Bluff Creek. And so they went down there purposefully to try to document the Bigfoot mystery.
And they just happened to find it.
All right. But this is, like, the pivotal film proof of the last 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, everything else I found was all, like, able to be hoaxed out, like,
hoaxed out.
Like, smoked out, but hoaxed out. And yeah. So I don't have an answer for that, but that kind of sounds like the logic. It's kind of a fail, like, not a great logic, that just because you can't prove it wrong, therefore it's right.
They can't reproduce it either.
They can't. I was going to say, that's the thing, is they can't prove that it's true either. They can't make it. We have never seen one that looks exactly like that ever again.
Right.
Which makes it, how do these things reproduce?
But maybe it's just something you just believe.
If they're so rare.
Like David Duchovny said.
How do babies get made?
I want to believe.
It's a lifespan on one of these things. Because if it's like a dog, the bigger the dog, the shorter the lifespan. I think they live for a long time. Why?
Because that would explain a lot. That would explain why there's not that many of them. Because you don't need to have that many. Like one of
those big turtles, they live for 150 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he looks really big and obviously slow enough to be caught with a 7mm camera.
But it's rare.
Oh. Yeah, really rare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's there's just a few, and they live for a long time, so they don't need to have a whole bunch of babies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they've never been hit by a car because they seem to be crossing a lot of paths. They cross a lot of roads in all these photos.
Well, they've lived for a long time before cars.
Oh, so they know no roads.
And hundreds of mm-hmm. years. And maybe they have amazing, like, slow metabolism. They don't have to come out very often. Maybe they only come out every 40 years.
Maybe they
have
a snack. Hibernating.
And then they go back away.
Hidden. How come bears haven't eaten one?
Oh, because they are the true king of the jungle.
How come we haven't found more mauled bears?
I don't think they eat bears.
What do they eat? Berries? Then they're competing with the bear's natural food source.
I don't know.
Are they vegetarians? Do we know this?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
According to some Native American legends, which I'll get into, they are meat eaters.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know for sure. I've not examined their scat.
Their scat. They did submit DNA samples from all these different things, and they did different studies to try to see what the DNA would look like. And one said that they had successfully found this unique DNA, and they said that it was going to be published in a scientific journal, and that never happened. The person's name was Ketchum, and he announced on February 13, 2013, that their research was published in De Novo Journal of Science. The Huffington Post looked into this, and the journal's domain was anonymously made 9 days before the announcement. So the journal never existed prior to that. And it was listed as Volume 1, Issue 1, with the only content being their paper with this DNA evidence.
That's my kind of journalism.
Like, this stuff doesn't make your stuff look credible.
Well, that's when you're like, I am the expert. Let me reference my article I wrote in my journal.
On my website. in my journal. Shortly after the publication, the paper was analyzed and obviously was an issue. They reported the questionable journal, the mismanaged DNA, and the poor paper, poor quality. They said it was written really poorly, too. So, didn't work out. There are some Bigfoot organizations. There's the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. They provide free databases to individuals and other organizations that help investigate and find research for credibility. In February 2016, the University of New Mexico held a two-day Bigfoot conference, and it cost $7,000 of the university's funds.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we spend money on
I'd pick up a mug.
Things. Yeah, I think it's really a big part of culture for sure. I mean,
well, it's probably like, you know, Roswell. They have all the UFO swag you can get if you go down there.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're known for, the big, hairy, stinky men. It's exciting for us and our role models. I mean, there's been never a hair, never a poo.
They're careful. They clean up.
Found.
I bury my shit when I shit in the woods. It's just polite.
It's just polite. That's what they need to put on the Sasquatch signs of them crossing the road, and it just says, it's just polite.
It is.
All right. Well, that's all I have other than the stuff that you're going to cover.
Okay.
I had to do the boring things that it's a hoax.
You can chime in.
Okay.
So I, you know, you grow up hearing about these legends of Bigfoot. I mean, everybody's pretty much heard of it, right? I did not absolutely believe it until one day on a dark night, I was on a roller derby road trip to the west side, and there was an accident on one of the bridges, and so traffic was completely stopped in one of those really, like, lush, dense, foresty parts that we have over there, where they're, like, hella creepy and mossy, and there's, like, no lights on the streets, and you're sitting so long you have to turn your car off. And I happened to be traveling on this roller derby road trip with a Native American woman who decided this was a great time to start to tell some stories. as we're sitting in the pitch dark.
She obviously read the room well.
On this highway. And she was just telling all these stories, you know, from her people and that she was raised with. And it was 100% that Bigfoot was real, was the message that I was getting. I made sure my window was up. I made sure my doors were locked. But I was like, this is real. And then, like, since then, when the topic has come up with other Native folks, it's been the same thing. That is, it's part of the culture, and it is believed, and this is a real thing. It's very much a part of the stories and the traditions.
And it's really, they find it really disrespectful if you counter that. There's a lot of the research that I found. They so strongly believe it.
You shouldn't. I mean, it's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. So most of the Native tribes have these stories describing giant hairy figures that look and behave similar to what Americans and Canadians call the Bigfoot. So every Native linguistic group has its own name for these figures. So that, from a linguistic standpoint, suggests that the stories did not all come from the same source, that these stories come separately from the different linguistic tribal areas. Sightings continue today to happen on certain Native reservations in the U.S. and Canada, particularly those reservations with an abundance of natural food sources. Mm. So we often think of the term Bigfoot to refer to not only creatures like Sasquatch, which are these wild, hairy men of the forest that are human-sized or taller, but there's other names. So these legends are told by tribes up in the PNW, Northern California, Western Oregon, and Washington, British Columbia, Alaska, and the Yukon. But there's also stories of hairy men of the forest in the plains and woodland tribes of the U.S., but most of those are forest dwarves, no taller than a human toddler. And
that sounds terrifying.
They have many similarities to the Bigfoot creatures, except for their size.
So are you going to share about the part where there's scary stories about them?
Well, I was going to just, I have two stories I could tell. They're not really scary, but they're actual stories that were passed down from a tribe in California. Do you have a scary story to tell?
Not an actual story, but they have one of the kind of history paths with it is that they would steal children.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Can we talk about that?
Okay. Yeah. And when you mentioned the short men running through the grass, that sounds like the most terrifying. I'm imagining like a Jurassic Park raptor scenario. But with grass tall people.
The child stealing creature of the woods scenario is popular among the Native tribes. So the gal I mentioned that I was in the car with was telling personal stories of her relatives that had witnessed a Bigfoot creature here in Washington State. So it was very terrifying. I mean, you know me. I can't even watch a scary movie without closing my eyes. So,
to make it worse, were you on a bridge?
Luckily, we weren't exactly on the bridge.
Okay.
We were like
on the other side.
Stopped right before the bridge because there was an accident on the bridge.
That would probably be the only other way to increase your anxiety more.
No, it was enough, believe me. So we're going to talk about Bigfoot creatures in various tribes. So usually in the folklore of Northwest Native American tribes, the Bigfoot legends describe a creature that's about 6 to 9 feet tall, very strong, hairy, and often foul-smelling.
That's where the skunk comes
usually
from.
Living in the woods and often foraging at night. Native American Bigfoot creatures are almost always said to be unable to speak human languages, using whistles, grunts, and gestures to communicate with each other. In some stories, male Bigfeet are said to be able to mate with human women.
Is this where Harry and the Hendersons kicks in?
Did he try to mate with?
I don't know. There was some nuances.
The mom? I don't remember.
I was a little young.
In some native stories, Bigfoot may have minor supernatural powers, such as the ability to turn invisible, but they are always considered physical creatures of the forest, not spirits or ghosts. So when you're categorizing sort of these stories of creatures, that's an important differentiation. So that's where the similarities are between intertribal Bigfoot stories. So here are some differences. In some tribes, Sasquatch and his relatives are generally shy and benign figures. They may take things that do not belong to them or even kidnap a human wife, but do not harm people and may even come to their aid. Sometimes Bigfoot...
Have they ever come to someone's aid?
Sometimes... Yeah, according to the tribes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sometimes...
So they have some stories.
Yeah, sometimes Bigfoot is considered a guardian of nature in these tribes. These more benevolent Bigfeet usually appear alone or in a small family unit. So at the end of Harry and the Hendersons, he reunites with his fam.
Uh-huh.
They may exchange gifts or use sign language to communicate with Native American communities. But Bigfoot legends from other tribes describe them as malevolent creatures who attack humans, play dangerous tricks on them, or steal their children, and even maybe eat people. These more dangerous Bigfoot monsters are known as stick Indians or bush Indians, and are sometimes found in large groups or even villages which engage in warfare with native tribes. So there's a whole list of different names that different linguistic tribal groups have. Again, I need to apologize. I cannot pronounce anything. It's my cross to bear. So I'll just say a few of them. The Sioux Indian Bigfoot is called the Chie Tonka. The Wenatchee Bigfoot is called the Choanito. The Yokut Bigfoot is called the Hairy Man. And I'm going to get more into that later. Foreshadowing. The Sasquatch. This is Washington. This is the Coast Salish tribe, particularly Muckleshoot tribal members do not speak of Sasquatch because doing so would draw one to you. They are human-like, covered in fur, and over 7 feet tall with 20-inch long footprints. They can render humans unconscious with just one touch and are known to steal dried fish and women. Dried fish and women. Don't whistle at night. That's how they communicate.
It's kind of like don't pee in the river.
Yakima's Bigfoot is called Stegehama. The stick Indian. So this is from the Northwest coast. And these are tricksters who steal salmon, tools, and other items, but eventually bring them back. And they would not harm a person unless attacked. The Dzunokwa is a forest giant who lives on Vancouver Island. Dzunokwa is covered in dark hair. She, so it's a female, speaks in a quavering voice through pursed lips. Children who wander outside at night could get snatched by the creature.
That might sounds like that's what would happen.
Cook and eat them.
Oh, God.
Or she might just raise them as her own children. It depends.
Like if you're a good enough child.
I think, yeah.
Follow the rules and you'll just become a child again somewhere else.
Quinault tribal members say that in the mountain live many giants who look almost the same as humans. They are great thieves. Still to this day, some come around the village at night and borrow a harpoon or a drift net, but usually return it in the morning. There is the Slapu, which is a Muckleshoot hairy ogress that was also called Snail Woman, and she also stole children. And a Suquamish elder, Ellen George, said her grandmother was a small girl living at the mouth of the Duwamish River when wild men entered their home one night to steal fish. Her family caught one of the wild men and kept him.
Oh.
These creatures were smaller than humans. So this is the ones that terrify you. It's probably connected to your ET fear. The scrabbling about of the feet, maybe.
Gosh, the...
Yes.
It's the worst.
So this little wild man that the family caught, they said he used to go hunting, and in a short time he would come back with a deer with its neck broken, even though he didn't have any weapons. The people kept the little wild man for a while, and then they let him go. After that, they would find a deer or two with broken necks lying in front of their door in the morning.
Like a kitty.
I know. It's like, I love you. Here's a dead thing.
Here's a dead deer with a broken neck.
Then they would hang dried fish outside and the wild men would take it at night. So after that, they never had to worry about the wild men coming back to rob them. They solved that problem.
That's good. It's either that or a really big cougar leaving presents on the front porch.
And then the question came up in this interview with this person, were there any wild men left? Why haven't they been seen? And the elder said they weren't killed off. It's just that they all became civilized. Some of our own people had them as ancestors. One of my cousins had a sharp face and was a terrible man. That was because he was part wild man.
Wow.
So that's an interesting theory right there.
Mm.
It could be because that's what they think happened with the Neanderthal people, is that they didn't die out. They were just integrated into.
It's explained so much.
Yeah. Okay. So this is really interesting that I'm going to talk about next. So we in Spokane have Painted Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, it's a popular hiking spot up north. So there's other Painted Rocks, of course. We're not the only place, but I'm going to talk
that
about.
I've learned to paint rocks.
I'm going to talk about the Painted Rock located on the Tule River Indian Res above Porterville in the Sierra Nevada foothills in California. And I had never heard of this and I found it super fascinating. And next time I go to California after the COVID and all that, I'm totally going here. So this is a rock shelter in the Yokuts village. It's right next to the Tule River. And so these pictographs are located inside this rock shelter and they're painted on the ceiling and walls of the shelter. Here's where it gets interesting. The pictographs include paintings of a male, female, and
wait,
child.
Can you just start over that sentence?
The pictographs include paintings of a male, female, and child Bigfoot.
Male, comma, female, or a male,
comma,
female.
Female, comma.
Okay.
And child Bigfoot, known as the family.
Oh.
I wish that was here in Spokane. Like, that would be cool.
Little Sasquatch family.
Yeah. So they're known as the family. There's also pictographs of coyote, beaver, bear, frog, caterpillar, centipede, humans, eagle, condor, lizard, and various lines, circles, and other geometric designs. The paintings are in red, black, white, and yellow. And I'll show you a picture of what it looks like.
You'll post it for folks?
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to kind of tell in that crappy photo.
Okay.
But they're in there. The child's kind of behind the mom or the female.
I can't see anything.
So some artists have like drawn out the lines and okay. This is what the lines look like of the main one.
Okay. Okay. Like a big hairy creature.
Yes.
Okay. Did you see where the name Bigfoot came from? Like the actual Bigfoot?
No, I think that might be just an Americanized.
It was actually from the Wyandot chief, nicknamed Bigfoot in the 1830s. He derived his name from the immense size of his feet. He had big, giant feet.
He had big fucking feet?
Big feet. He also had five brothers who were very small in size compared to him.
he stole all the goodies in the mom's womb.
So later in the 19th century, Spotted Elk was also called Chief Bigfoot. He was a well-known Lakota leader who was killed at Wounded Knee Massacre in 1890. And the two Native Americans may have been the namesakes for two fabled bears in the West. Did you hear about that?
No. Interesting.
So in the late 19th and 20th centuries, at least two enormous marauding grizzly bears were widely noted in the press and nicknamed Bigfoot. So they were... The name began to become more widespread as the reference to Sasquatch after a photo of a bulldozer operator, Jerry Crew, holded a cast of the foot. But that's where they say that the name Bigfoot actually stemmed from, was from Wyandotte Chief.
Maybe some of those footprints have been found as evidence.
The first grizzly bear, Bigfoot, was killed near Fresno, California in 1895 after killing sheep for 15 years.
If you live in Fresno, I'm sorry.
He was 2,000 pounds. It's a big bear.
That's a big ass bear.
It's a big foot. The second one was active in Idaho in the 1890s and 1900s between the Snake and Salmon Rivers. And the tribes there actually said that he had supernatural powers.
Yes. What if there was a big ass 2,000 pound bear and it had little teeny feet?
He would just roll over.
That'd be a whole different legend.
It'd be a he weebles and he wobbles and he does fall over.
Whoa,
now I'm just picturing Big Bear with little feet.
I know, Big Bear with little feet. All right. So this rock art site is unique, not only because it has a Bigfoot pictograph, because it also has a bunch of traditional stories that go along with it.
Ooh.
From that tribe. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute.
I like stories.
There are no other creation stories involving a Bigfoot-like creature in California. So one of the main stories, which I'm actually not going to tell, is it's a creation story involving Bigfoot.
Okay.
You can look it up.
Thanks.
It's out there.
Thanks for that work.
There was four stories and I had to choose two. And I didn't choose that one. So as far as researchers can determine, there are no Bigfoot creation stories anywhere else in the West. And there are also no evidence of any other Bigfoot pictographs or petroglyphs anywhere in California, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, or the Idaho.
That's a big gap. Like all the research I was looking at, none of it looked at anything about where it came from. Like where did the origin story, so to speak, in Marvel terms.
Wouldn't that be fucking cool to see a Bigfoot pictograph though? I gotta go there.
That'd be really, really neat, yeah.
It's my quest.
The quest.
So researchers have estimated that the paintings remain around Common Era 500, but could be as old as Common Era 1.
I don't know what that means.
Well, if you believe in Jesus, that would be...
I would know what that means.
After death, one.
Okay, thank you.
So, B.C. is before Christ.
I do know that.
But
A.D.
people,
I know as well, after the
such death. As myself, who are Jews, other people that aren't Jesus... people,
other Jewish people,
they use BCE and CE, Common Era and Before Common Era, instead of BC and AD.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So the estimation is it's between 500 and 1,000 years old, which is hella old.
That's all I needed to know, really, was that this was hella old.
So this predates, like, all the current pop culture-y stuff, which I just loved. So, and some believe that the paintings were there prior to the village as well, the native village. So in 1973, at the request of the tribe, researchers began gathering some of the traditional stories told by members of the reservation. the daughter of a tribal elder who had been the caretaker of the pictograph site since the early 1900s, identified Hairy Man as being the same as Bigfoot. The researchers noted that Hairy Man was described by the Tool River tribe as a creature that was like a great big giant with long shaggy hair. And since Bigfoot also was described that way, the two were the same. So I thought I'd end with a little stories, but first you should, if you have more on yours, you should talk more on yours.
No, my big ones were mainly how, like, where the name came from. I shared that and the sightings, and yeah, no, that's about it. So it's good. Share your stories.
You have like 18 pages of paper there. There has to be more.
They're on the bed. It's over.
It's done.
It's done. It's fine. It's okay.
Have you ever been to the Ho Rainforest?
No.
It's in our state.
That you're insulting me?
No. Listen, Ho Rainforest. Washington State has a rainforest.
It's called Ho.
It's called Ho.
I thought Washington State has actually like several, or just, is it just one?
Washington State is special because it has a rainforest and a desert. But yes, we have like the most, I think it's the biggest temperate rainforest in the country. And it's creepy as fuck. I know you went there.
When? When did I go there?
Well, we had a roller derby trip up
are you talking
to the
about
top.
When?
Remember the one with the vampires? Because the Twilight series
is
based on the that top was of the Olympic thing. Oh, you didn't go through because you just took a ferry over.
Yeah, we ferried.
Okay, so if you actually go around the peninsula and up, you'll go through the Ho Rainforest, and it's...
Can we pause and tell people really quick about our experience in that town?
Yeah, why don't you do that while I look up a picture of the rainforest to tell you? Because I went camping in it, and that was another moment where I'm like, Bigfoot is real.
One of the best moments in this town where they filmed Twilight... there's an actual store there where they filmed Twilight, and we were walking back, slightly buzzed, nothing horrible.
Just post-roller derby norm.
Normal, and we're walking back to the hotel at nighttime, and there was a group of...
locals.
Local teens outside of this store. And as we're walking by, they yell an obscenity and say that Twilight is for... Not going to say it. And they
a bad name.
A bad name that was uncalled for. We were just walking by. And then Naomi and her buzz self turns around and says, you're the one standing outside of the Twilight store. And their look of like, well, she has a point. And it was great.
I mean, that's the town. I mean, it's been a while since I read those books, but... I used to know the name of the town.
It was just weird that we got harassed by people for that when they were the ones.
Yeah. Like, here's a picture of what the Ho Rainforest looks like.
Oh, it's pretty. Big trees.
It's pretty. And mossy. It's very, very dense and mossy and moist and foggy. Moist. And I went camping there and I absolutely believed that's where Bigfoot lives. for sure
if anywhere that
that's
place.
Where because sure. You would never be found. It's yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Aokigahara forest with the overgrown.
It does look a lot like that forest.
Like you wouldn't want to just wander off.
That's a suicide forest in Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't just wander off in there. You would never be found or come back.
It kind of looks like my old backyard when I lived in Snohomish.
So Washington State's amazeballs, and we have this amazing Olympic National Park with our own rainforests. And if you live anywhere nearby, you should go there. It's super fun and probably COVID-free for the most part, I'm thinking. Mm. So bonus.
Just the end of that Twilight story, it ended with Tart here's Naomi throwing cupcakes all over
They were brownies.
A used car parking lot. They were brownies. You're right. No, they weren't brownies. They were cupcakes.
Oh.
Because they
were brown cupcakes.
Chocolate. We were given pity cupcakes because they thought that we were going to lose, but we won and we beat them. And then
they were poor sports.
They were really mean to us after, and they gave us pity brownies at first, and then we won. And then you threw them. I may have partaken. I don't remember.
They also
threw them all over the town.
So the gifts that they gave us were pre-planned before the game.
Yes.
And it became very obvious to us that they had really been too overconfident that they were going to win, because not only were there
and nasty
brownies, remember they had a picture of all them that was signed and autographed.
Yeah. Yeah. They were giving us all this like swag, like we should be honored to be playing them.
Yeah. And then, like we'd put it up on the wall, like, oh my God.
And then they were so mean. Sometimes teams, when they are start to lose and they don't think that they should lose because they're entitled and full of themselves, start like swearing at you while you're skating,
they're screaming,
or like will call you names like when you're up next to them.
And, there's a lot of trash talk that goes on.
Yeah.
Quite a lot, because people can't handle their cool, and
the
that
best medicine is just to smile at them. And I love I smile and I go, I like your socks.
Yep, because it shows that they're losing their control and you have all your control.
Play frustrated derby doesn't work.
I think we need to look up what that town is. Twilight Town in Washington. I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, I know it. It's gosh.
Did you read the books?
Yeah, I did.
Forks.
Yeah.
Fucking Forks.
Yeah, that's where.
Is that where we had the game?
I feel like it was nearby there. But we walked through the town.
Yeah, it was nearby there. God, it's not coming up. But yeah.
It was like the bookstore that's in the film that you see. Like the back parking lot area, we were like right outside.
This was right after, like, it was all very popular.
Yes.
It was a while back.
That was also when we saw a woman being followed by raccoons that same night.
And she was cornered.
She was cornered on a cell phone and did not seem worried about it. And we were very worried for her safety. And then you stole a traffic cone and shoved it up your shirt and thought that the hotel manager couldn't see you. And you rolled down a hill with the cone in your shirt. Same time.
Strategic combat roll.
And you totally thought you were doing it. So
it was a roll and bounce back up. It was very well planned.
He was very worried about our safety.
I don't think he'd ever experienced people like us.
I don't think so either. And then I thought it was all a dream. And I woke up and then opened the curtain. And remember that? We opened the curtain. There was a traffic cone in the bathtub. It was a moment of,
oh God, what have we done?
All of that was real.
And this is a very small town. We very easily could have been arrested for debauchery.
Absolutely could have been, because we left and everybody was like, you're really going to walk back that far? We're like, it's fine. I had a ride and I went with you because I thought you knew what you were talking about, and you didn't. And you were very wrong. And we walked 3 miles.
It was a lot longer walk.
We walked
than
3 miles
to be
drunk at night through this town we didn't know with a box of cupcakes. Nothing good was going to happen. I peed at a gas station parking lot in the parking lot.
I think I peed with you though.
You did.
Yeah.
Booty was the good. Booty was with us.
We peed in solidarity.
Yeah. Had to happen. All right.
Oh, roller derby. Okay. You ready for two tales?
Yes.
So these are oral stories that were put together by the Tool River Tribe. One is called When People Took Over. And I liked this one. So this was put together by research. They got the story from many tribal members and retold it and retold it to them until it was stitched together into one story.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Here we go. When People Took Over is the name of the story. People spread out all over the mountains, taking all the land and eating all the food.
Assholes.
Animals didn't have any place to go. Eagle, chief of all the animals, told the animals that they could not remain in their traditional places because people had taken them. He asked them where they wished to go. Eagle said, what are you going to become? What will you be? I myself am going to fly high up in the air and live on squirrels and sometimes on deer. Hairy man said, I will go live among the trees and hunt only at night when people sleep. Dog said, I will stay with people and be their friend. I will follow them and perhaps I will get something to eat in that way. Buzzard said, when something dies, I will smell it. I will go there and eat it. Crow said, when I see something lying dead, I will pick out its eyes. Coyote said, I will go about killing grasshoppers. That is how I will live. Hummingbird said, I will go to the flowers and get my food from them. Condor said, I will not stay here. I will go far off into the mountains. Perhaps I will find something to eat there. Woodpecker said, I will get acorns and make holes in the trees to store them in. Blue Jay said, I'm going to make trees grow over the hills. I will work. Rat said, I will go where there are old trees and make my house in them. Mouse said, I will run here, there, and everywhere. I shall have holes, and perhaps I can live in that way. Trout said, I will live in the water, and perhaps I can find something to eat there. That was the time when animals stopped being like us and scattered. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that story?
I think that it is, like, it didn't, like a lot of the hoax stories that I read, it's like all about the Bigfoot, where this is, it's like listed as like every other animal.
It's more integrated.
Yeah. Where it doesn't seem like it was made to be a focus intentionally to get attention.
Good point. Would you like one more story?
I would love one more story.
This one is called Bigfoot, the Hairy Man. Bigfoot was a creature that was like a great big giant with long, shaggy hair. His long, shaggy hair made him look like a big animal. He was good in a way because he ate the animals that might harm people. He kept the grizzly bear, mountain lion, wolf, and other large animals away. During hot summer nights, all the animals would come out together down from the hills to drink out of the Tool River. Bigfoot liked to catch animals down by the river. He would eat them up, bones and all.
Wow.
It was pleasant and cool down by the river on hot summer nights. That is when grown-ups like to take a swim. Even though people feared the Bigfoot, the hairy man, might come to the river, people still like to take a swim at night. Parents always warned their children, don't go near the river at night. You may run into Bigfoot. Now Bigfoot usually eats animals, but parents said, if he can't find any animals and he's very hungry, he will eat you. Bigfoot, the hairy man, doesn't leave a speck or trace. He eats you up, bones and all. We won't know where you have gone or what has happened to you. Some people say Bigfoot, the hairy man, still roams around the hills near Tool River. He comes along the trail at night and scares a lot of people. When you hear him, you know it is something very big because he makes a big sound, not a little sound. Mm-hmm. Children are cautioned not to make fun of his picture on the painted rock or play around that place because he would hear you and come after you. Parents warn their children, you are going to meet him on the road if you stay out too late.
Who is that why the person you were with was worried when all the traffic was stopped?
Probably. The children have learned always to come home early.
Hmm. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum,
bum. I just love that. I love that there's pictographs of the hairy man. And there are stories that go along with it. And it's really cool. I'll put a link. If you're on part of our Facebook group, I'll link to the article that has all the stories. Because they're really awesome.
I really like knowing, I liked learning too about the history of it because it gave so much more context to
something that was always pop culture to me. Like, I'd never seen a Bigfoot. It was just, oh, they sell keychains. And obviously this thing was made up by people and it's never been found. So I knew that, like, surface knowledge that most people know. So I think it helps add in more depth and kind of the richness of, like, the actual stories and the culture behind it. You know, true or not, I think that's really important.
I think it's important as well.
Actually, I was watching, Myths and, like, Greek stories and, like, talk where it was Ooh. Talking about, like, where a lot of, like, storytelling comes from and all these different ways that mythological creatures in these stories, what their purpose was in telling those stories. And yes, there's the people that feel that they are just literally true, but mm-hmm. then there's also the meaning behind that and what that meant at the culture at the time, mm-hmm. which is really interesting, actually.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those, like the Grimm's fairy tales, for example.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of them maybe are cautionary tales. And that last one is like, oh, you know, maybe that's a cautionary tale to make your kids be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's, you know, there's probably pieces to that. I definitely heard that within there of, like, be good or Bigfoot's going to show up and take you away. Otherwise, he's mostly harmless and can be almost protective, which is good. So I definitely caught that too of, like, children be good. But I do think that it was wider for adults too. But I'm not really sure the, like, more, is it more protective? Why he was in the Native American, like, stories?
My research tells me it's a mix of being a scary child stealer and also benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
And it what really differed first? From the roots. I don't know.
I mean, I guess the paintings would be the farthest back knowledge we have. Like, of actual something there, and it was like a family of them. And your story shows,
isn't,
like,
that cute? A
kind of part,
a Bigfoot fam,
which every animal has a family, right, of some kind. And it just kind of further solidifies that, at least at that juncture, that's what they actually believed.
The part about that research article that really stood out to me was that the other creatures included humans, so there was a clear mm-hmm. differentiation that this is
not a
different thing, that there's humans.
What I'm hearing is that humans fuck shit up by getting involved in taking all of the habitat. That's what I've heard.
Obviously, humans fuck shit up. Yes.
Literally now getting every other human sick and doing our own culling of our population, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous.
I had always heard, since I moved up to this area, and I don't know if it's true or not, I would like to know more about it, but I've heard that, like, the northwestern coastal tribal areas have better been able to, like, retain their culture because they were, like, farther, like, squished up into the corner of the country mm-hmm. and didn't have the same amount of like forcible violent actions and stealing culture and lands. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of something that was told to me when I first moved up here, and I would really like to know more about that, if that's true or not. And if that's the case, then whatever cultural traditions are happening there may not have had the same interruption to the same level, at least. I mean, of course there's reservations there still, but maybe there's more of a link to the history.
It is interesting that a lot of the reports of Bigfoot are in areas with higher amounts of Indian reservations.
So maybe there's some kind of symbiotic relationship there. Maybe it's like a safe space.
Yeah.
Who knows? If I saw one sometime,
you would tell me.
I'd fucking shit myself is what I'd do.
I would hope.
And then I would tell you.
That you can just not tell me.
No, I'd probably lead with, I just shit myself. And then, like, not have the context.
I feel like I'd be with you. It'd be another road trip of like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Remember when you saw that big giant cougar walk across the road? That was giant.
No, that was a fucking mountain lion.
That, you know, that's the same thing. A puma, a cougar, and a mountain lion are all the same thing.
It was enormous. It was like
Canadian, which inherently made it bigger and scarier.
Yes, because everything up there is more wild.
It was, yes. And we saw bighorn sheep. That was just a straight up adventure.
That mountain lion sighting, though, was probably one of the coolest moments of my life. I
still can like picture.
Yeah, I can picture too. I rented that black Mustang to drive up into Canada because I'm like, let's fucking do this
Mustang.
And we're like taking the curves, and all of a sudden, and nobody's around. It's like a 2-lane highway up in Canada, and we come around this thing, and this fucking mountain lion is just.
He walked so slowly.
Sauntering.
And like calmly, yeah. Like
swag.
He didn't give no fucks about us.
And you could just see the muscles just.
Every muscle ripple as he stepped.
The feet were huge. It's like
he would eat me in a heartbeat.
We just stopped and we're just like watching this thing cross the road. And he did not give a fuck about us.
No, he knew all. He could kill our Mustang.
And it was huge. Just so big and. So cool. That was amazing. That was an amazing moment.
If it would have been Sasquatch, I think it would have been a similarly amazing moment.
No, I still would have been sitting there with my jaw
be
open.
Like, no way, hit it with the car so I can never give that example again.
I'd be like, no, Maisie, I can't.
I'd be like, just do it. It's no, for science.
I can't do it.
Hit that piece of nature as hard as you can.
The IRB would not approve.
I don't care. Do I never submitted.
That was so
okay,
cool.
Okay, so that's what you would do. You'd stop and look at Sasquatch. I would probably hit it with my car.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times I've said that out loud to people? I would have to prove it. And I would probably I don't think go to you any. Could. You don't?
I think you would feel bad.
It doesn't mean I wouldn't feel bad that I hit it with my car.
Okay, I would hope you would feel bad. Jesus Christ.
I'd feel justified in feeling bad.
I love that we both had Sasquatch.
That was so weird. Okay, we have to like separate our brain space. We're too close.
Well,
back off my brain space.
I don't think we're having our periods at the same time anymore.
I don't know. Are we?
I'm not right now, are you?
Me neither, but I did.
Shit.
Recently.
I'll send you my calendar next time.
Nobody needs to know this.
That's how you know how connected you really are.
That's the thing with just another since roller derby is coming out there, FYI, is that it sucks being on a roller derby team because mm-hmm. you have a large group of women like swaying the period times of everybody yep. else and you all end up in sync and bitchy at the same time.
Fucking bitchy as shit.
It's just like, let's just stop. We're going to cancel practice this week for everybody.
Throw tampons at 20 people at once is a handful. It's going to be a real carry moment.
Some Midol and tampons.
Plug it up. Plug it up.
All right. Well, on that note, until next time.
Believe if you want to. It's okay.
And watch Harry and the Hendersons if you haven't recently.
God, I'm going for it.
Me too. All right. Bye.
Goodbye.